Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm Adam Russell.
Hey, Adam Russell. I'm Nick Gambarian.
Hey, guys. Back from New York. We all are, but I am Mike Forrester. We made it! We made it!
We survived.
Not without a little bit of congestion.
A little bit of con crud, eh, Nick? Sound a little nasally?
Do I have con crud?
No, you sound pretty... You sound pretty normal. I actually sound very clear, considering I'm usually the guy who's always sick. So, yeah. Honestly.
Well, sniffle McSnifflersons.
Whatever I did, I think I was actually probably the one who gave everybody con crud, which tracks now that I think about it.
So, you know, it's funny, Mike, we didn't talk about this yet. So me and Mike were roommates this weekend in our lovely hotel room. Yep. And you had a way early flight on Sunday morning.
Yep.
And you said you tried to say goodbye to me four times while I was sleeping and I wouldn't wake up. That's crazy. I can't believe that I didn't wake up.
I only said goodbye to you once.
Oh, okay.
You were very...
That's way different than four.
You were very sleepy though. And I just wanted to let you sleep because you look so cozy. You sleep in a full hoodie, which I think is insane.
Yeah. I don't know what I went to bed in that night. Yeah. So I trust you if you say it was a hoodie.
We got probably a collective, I think we had gotten about 4 hours of sleep the entire weekend, yeah. Starting on Thursday night. So personally, I have found that this con was exhausting and absolutely fantastic. So we had a great time. It was so good to see you guys. We did the thing.
Yeah.
We did the thing.
New York takes a toll on you. It really does. Dude,
I used to love New York. Like in my late teens, early 20s, because there was something like novel about going to a place that's not a car city. You know, I grew up in a Midwest city where you have to drive a car everywhere, a big like sprawling county, suburban kind of thing.
Right.
So I like had this awesome pride. I thought it was awesome. This pride in being able to like navigate the subway and this like this feeling of freedom as like a young person. But now as an old person, I'm like, oh God, this is too much.
Really?
Everything's coming at me from every direction.
Yeah.
I absolutely gave you my spiel about it, but like I've almost lived in California for 7 years now. And every time I've ever gone back, I'm just like, I guess the best way I could put it is like I lived on a roller coaster for like 36 years. And now every time I've gone back and look at the roller coaster, I'm like, how did I ever go on that roller coaster? You know, like, it seems so crazy now that I'm like so removed from it. And then you just see it in people's faces. Like it really is like an entire city of a grind.
Right.
Like anyone there who's happy or looks like they're having fun is not from there. They're visiting.
Right.
They're visiting or they're literally the 1% and could afford to not be a part of the grind. Everyone else, 9 million people on an island the size of, I don't know, from here to LA. It's insane.
I got to go on the subway for the first time, which was fun. I got to come from Brooklyn to Manhattan via subway. And then, Nick, you and I got to take the subway from Manhattan to New Jersey.
Technically, that was called the PATH.
Oh, but yes. It's PATH. What does that mean?
Oh, so you were like smuggling survivors of Order 66.
Of Order 66, yeah. It was pretty cool. It wasn't nearly as cool. There's a lot more gum and trash. but the important part is that we had another successful Mosh Eisley, which was
we did.
So fun. And we were up against some odds for sure. I want to say, of course, thank you to everyone who attended and kind of put up with the venue. We knew that the venue turnover was going to be tight. So a band was getting off and they had booked the venue until like 9 that night or 9:15 or whatever that was. And then we knew that we were going to have about what they consider like a half hour transition of us getting set up, which of course ran late. You know, we're trying to get merch in there. They're trying to get their merch out, like kind of a nightmare.
But dude, you were so stressed.
I was stressed, dude. I was stressed.
Well, it didn't help. We had enough to do, like, regardless. We didn't need whatever was going on. You know, yeah. Not for nothing, too, though. Like, you know who wasn't stressed? Everyone working at the venue. They were just like, we do this all the time. It's fine.
Right.
You know, like, don't worry about it, guys. And not for nothing. All things considered, we ran 15 minutes late. We opened doors at 11:15 instead of 11.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. You know.
Right. So it was awesome. There are a couple of people, of course, that we want to shout out on the pod that are friends of ours, and were massively helpful in terms of making this all happen. I think first and foremost, Justin Sonfield, the current head of the 501st, and also is a fantastic friend of ours. Came up in everyone's favorite Golden Protocol droid and opened the night up for us, which is a mosh first.
Goldenrod, the permanent resident.
That's right. And we had an amazing monologue written over by our friend Jason Chiodo, who was on our Star Cruiser episode most recently, that did this awesome re-speecher style, you know, in the style of Anthony Daniels' voice to open up mosh. And it was incredible. But Justin specifically hosted a bunch of our friends, hosted our photographer, Ryloth, who's starting to send photos out. They're incredible. They look amazing. And of course, Roosevelt's had a killer booth, had a killer pre-party for people to come and get primed. And they actually sold one of their shirts at Mosh, which was really cool. We're always stoked to partner up with them. And they went hard, man. And everybody showed up and went hard. We had some actors from The Mandalorian that were there, just absolutely loving what was going on. It was a ton of fun. And I don't know, like I feel like we're going to have more of these very soon. We've already announced it. Whatever. We'll see you guys in Orlando. We'll see you guys in Orlando.
February 3rd, right? MegaCon for all you Southeasters.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, lots of people we want to thank. We had so much help with this one because the transition was so short, we kind of like pulled all hands on deck. A lot of friends, new friends and old friends and spouses and things. My wife helped a lot.
My
friend Ben
Crane and
know if I can say the thing, but.
Right.
Yeah, he was there. I mean, just like hustling the whole time. We had like four photographers, friends that were just coming to hang, you know, just down to do the stuff, and much appreciated.
And then, of course, the premiere of Ryan Key at Mosh Eisley.
yes,
having the time of his life, and you know, for someone who's hosted, what did he say? 400 emo nights or
over
whatever.
400.
You know, it was, he had a little monologue of, you know, saying how rad is this that we got to dress up and do this part. I think he was having the time of his life. So, it was good. I know that he was supposed to be on the pod tonight, but I think is he on his way to Vegas? What's he doing right now?
Yes.
Yeah. I think so.
Doing
yeah.
Vegas stuff. Okay.
Yep. For when we were young.
Yep. Cool. So, Ryan was there, had a great time. And we're already, the guest list for Orlando is already starting to fill up. So man, let's have fun.
We can't just throw parties that only our friends come to. We have to.
Yeah. We got to expand.
It's true. It's getting out of hand. So,
and we promise that next time, Ryan and I will decide ahead of time on who moves the fader when we're getting ready to start a song.
Mm. Actually, I fired both of you when that happened. So, okay.
Yeah.
I just remembered.
Yeah, that's true. So, that was amazing. So, thank you everyone who came to Mosh. Bought a shirt, bought a poster, did whatever you the pre-orders, all that stuff. Like it was so much fun, and I love that every single one of them is kind of developing their own little identity with our everyone who's coming. We had like Heroes of the Halcyon flew up just for Mosh to come to New York and hang out. You know, Brooke McDonald is always hanging. We've got like you know, the Marquette crew, my friends and Brooke and Meredith and everyone. It's just like I love that we're doing these things, and like despite not having Star Cruiser anymore, there's still like a huge join of people saying like, when's the next Mosh? Let's make it happen. And I think Florida is gonna be a show, man. We got
it's a bigger venue, a little bit more. Actually, it's the biggest venue we've booked for Mosh Eisley. So
that's true. That's true.
Plenty of time, plenty of space to do all the cool stuff.
Lots of stuff. Yeah. And the venue is super stoked to work with us. So if you were kind of feeling like, oh, we usually do cantina hour, hang, see everyone before, like there is definitely going to be, there will definitely be, Florida will be the vibe for sure. So let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's also do a podcast.
Yes.
About Star Wars.
Yes.
About other things. Let's get into some stuff that we on paper don't do. We're going to do some speculating, but we're also going to do some referencing of facts and more like extrapolating, making educated assumptions about where Star Wars is going in the next couple years. I titled this episode in a way that, you know, suggested we're just pulling from a few more recent things, but there's really, I mean, like everything that's been on TV in Star Wars this year has been planting seeds. There's a lot of stuff, but some of the bigger ones are from Ahsoka and some stuff in animation. And we're going to reference Mando as well, but we're going to talk about the future of Star Wars as suggested by the clues, the seeds planted in those series. And we'll hit like a few main topics and kind of, we'll talk about some stuff in, you know, in print and different places, you know, video games that are also planting those seeds, but we're really seeing it come together. And there were some key moments in Ahsoka that made those suggestions as well. So we're going to talk a little bit and probably go off the rails as well. Let's just be honest.
I'm already off the rails.
Yeah. I don't even have any rails. Rail list.
Can I just give you a brief overview of what I think the future of Star Wars is going to be? Because I know you guys appreciate my opinion. I think there's going to be new stormtroopers. They're going to be in white, but they're going to kind of look different. I think there's going to be a new kind of like Vader looking guy, but he's going to have a cooler mask. Like just saying, right? And then I think there's going to be a new Jedi, but it's going to be a girl this time. It's going to have a blue lightsaber, probably Luke's. That's what I think is going to be the future.
Hit the music. We're right? done with the podcast.
That's
it. Oh, man. I don't know if I buy it.
I don't know. It sounds like a Mary Sue.
Well,
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I can't anymore. What do we start with? We have a great message that was sent by a listener that I could kind of just read. We could talk about it. I'll read it and we'll talk about it. We'll just see how this goes. Okay. So the Mortis Gods were a big part of Ahsoka and we talked about them at length. We speculated along the way. And then with the season finale, got some big indications of how much they're going to be a part of Star Wars going forward. So, I mean, the title of this episode, The Future of Star Wars, is to me a lot about like a big shift in the focus of the mythology, you know, and the focus of more like new mythologies, new interpretations of the same spirit, the same God, the same force, the same, you know, much like the world's religions. We're seeing the galaxy's religions kind of more fleshed out now in Star Wars. And I think mm-hmm. we're going to see so much more of that. And we did in Ahsoka. It got wild. For people who haven't watched animation, it got really wild. And I was glad to hear last week that not everyone is confused and put off by that. But there is more to come. So we're going to talk about it.
I mean, it just adds depth, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that if anything, you think of Star Wars fandom as just a giant pie with different slices. And I think that bringing more mythological stuff, whether it's Lord of the Rings-ish stuff or Greek mythology, and a little bit more of a smart yet heavy-handed way, you might just actually win people over.
Yeah.
You know, like you might win new fans. So I like it.
I love it. So actually, let's do this. Let's wait. Let's wait on the Mortis Gods thing. Let's talk about the Zepho.
Okay.
Because this is a little like deeper cut, and we'll get back around to Mortis Gods. Mike, you having played Fallen Order mm-hmm. no more directly than we do, you want to talk a little bit about the Zepho here?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that play important here in terms of where Fallen Order kind of fits into this, right? So there's been a, you know, of course, there's always rumors, like as we get further and further into the combination of crossing the streams of video games into live action, right? And Filoni, we know that Filoni is a fan of video games. It's where, you know, the Dark Troopers and some of these other, you know, deep cut references come from. But, you know, Cal Kestis is played by Cameron Monaghan, who was on Shameless, and he was the Joker on Gotham, I think. So legit actor, totally cool. Like the story is great. The story is fantastic. But a huge chunk of Fallen Order takes place on Dathomir. That's actually one of the first places, besides the Clone Wars, which was a little bit of a different experience, where we see this Night Sister magic reanimate former Night Sisters. Like, they're like zombies, and they're fueled by this green smoke that comes out. Dathomir is a huge part of Fallen Order, in terms of like where a ton of the game is played out, the important parts of the game. And so Dathomir is, for Clone Wars fans, of course, they know it as an important part of the Talzins. We'll get into that. But the Night Sisters and Dathomir obviously are a huge chunk of where we're going to be headed. So getting back to it, the Zepho is kind of the, I would say, like the mythological part of Fallen Order. They are an ancient species that were force sensitive. I think we'd call it refer to them as the Zephonians.
Yeah, because the planet's called Zepho.
So we'll go Zephonians. I think I like that. You know, Zephonin. And there was one specific Zepho that was named Kujet, which I think that's how you pronounce it. But he was, they had sages that were understanding their knowledge of the Force, and they made these huge tombs to try to pass on. It was a pretty advanced culture. They kind of had these triangular heads. They look really sick. They almost look like the aliens from Independence Day. Another reference for y'all 90s kids out there. But they used the Force in a way that they called the Life Wind. And Kujet was a sage who ended up tapping into the dark side of the Force and then amassed this like dark, essentially like a dark army or of people who followed him. And his tomb is actually on Dathomir. And the Zepho, the other sages, are actually entombed on the home planet. So there is a difference of the two of them. Dathomir has such a dark energy to it that it's pretty interesting that Kujet was on there. And the reason that we talk about that is because the ruins on the Night Sister Tower on Peridia in Ahsoka actually have, though upside down, carved into it, praise Kujet, ruler of all, may his reign last for all time. So we have this crossover now into live action, taken from Fallen Order, right? So Dathomir's history, I think, is getting richer and richer the more it goes on. So there's something interesting there, but this Zepho are kind of this ancestral force embodiment. They are another civilization that was able to understand and harness the Force. Something very interesting going on with them that I think that it's worth a wiki. Let's put it that way. I also suggest, if you're into this stuff, I actually suggest you pick up this book right here, which podcast listeners won't be able to hear it. But if you're on YouTube, The Art of Jedi Fallen Order, there's some incredible stuff in here. So this game, if you've been able to play this game, it's pretty fantastic. The second one's come out. I'm a dad who works a lot, so I'm like a quarter of the way through the second one. But Zepho was definitely part of the first one. I think it's going to be very important to Star Wars moving forward. So.
Yeah, I hope that that's true, because you just think of, like you were joking earlier about the future of Star Wars, and there's going to be more stormtroopers and a guy who looks like Darth Vader. It's like, okay, probably, but it would be very...
He's going to go, his name is going to be Kylo Ben.
Kyle Ben.
Yeah, just making it up.
It's just Palpatine's going to come back, we know it. But
somehow
it would be great to have... I mean, they fixed, I feel like, potentially, at least for speculation purposes, they fixed a lot of things with introducing a new galaxy. So That's where a lot of our heroes could be hiding during the sequel trilogy. That is also where new, quote-unquote, Force users can come from, because we know that the Force exists as it exists, and then people, different races call it different things. So, right. Like, the Life Wind, for instance, or the Chiss. What are the Chiss called? They call it like Skywalker or something, right? I want to say. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Yeah. But
more stuff we need to read.
Yeah.
If only we had let's look this up.
The Night Sisters. You know, the Night Sisters, they just use magic basically. So it'll be pretty rad to hopefully get all of these different like darker entities. Sight. The Sight. Okay. Kutor Sorn, there's some weird Skywalker thing. Like, they weren't referring to Luke or Anakin or anything, but they called Force users Skywalkers. Someone in the stream chat, please, in those Thrawn books.
Chiss believed in the third sight, allowing Chiss children called Skywalkers to navigate the ever-shifting anomalies in the chaos so the Chiss ships could stay in hyperspace safely, which is interesting.
Got
because
it.
Because the sight is New High Republic. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. So lots of bad guys. Lots of bad guys will be good for business.
Bad guys are good for business.
You heard it here first.
Well, while we're talking about this Night Sister stuff, or while we're talking about Dathomir, we're Night Sister adjacent. We've talked about them at length, you know, in our discussions of Ahsoka, of course, but it's worth mentioning again and maybe speculating a little bit about where this is going, you know, seeing things like the Sword of Talzin, which to us kind of clarified a little bit, you know, who, like where the center of power was, and, you know, learning that the Night Sisters originally came from Peridia, later settled Dathomir, but Dathomir is some, you know, somehow it almost seems like it could be like a Mecca in a way, like it became their holy land or something like that. We've got these coffins, you know, in Thrawn's ship, which we're assuming are full of dead witches, dead Night Sisters that will be reanimated at some point. And the whole thing ends with Thrawn and the Night Sisters returning to Dathomir or arriving at Dathomir in the Outer Rim.
We had talked about this a little bit, I think, when we were speculating, is that like, or are those pods, like, so what's interesting about it, Fallen Order Night Sisters are buried on Dathomir in these like burial pods that hang from the trees.
Mm-hmm.
So are these, and we had talked about this a little bit, of Thrawn awakening the Great Mothers, right? So are they other mothers that get a different treatment of standard Night Sisters? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's something interesting in there. But certainly they almost seem too formal for just being coffins. You know what I mean? It has interesting design to them.
Are you going to the mall later? Are Zepho?
No, I'm not going to the mall.
What's the anatomy of a Zepho? They seem pretty big whenever I see them. They couldn't be in those coffins, could they?
No, I don't think so. Those looked humanish size. Yeah. Zepho are tall and
elongated.
Mm.
Yeah. So here's the interesting thing about going to Dathomir in terms of what follows this era with the Imperial Remnant. So we'll now get into the Shadow Council First Order formation kind of situation here.
Oh yeah, here we go. Shadow Council.
So we first saw the Shadow Council on screen at the end of The Mandalorian season 3. Shadow Council being an Imperial Remnant after the Battle of Endor, after the fall of the Empire. It was formed before, you know, sometime in, you know, around Return of the Jedi time. It was all part of this contingency plan that that Palpatine had, because he knew what was going to go down, and he knew that he had to create this contingency to eventually return, again, always in the shadows, greatest Sith Lord of all time, insert clip. This is happening in the Unknown Regions, which, if you look at the map of the galaxy, isn't anywhere close to Dathomir. Yet, Thrawn is part of the Shadow Council. And a big thing about the Shadow Council, to give you a little overview here, it was led by Admiral Gallius Rax. This is all from the Aftermath novels that start like basically right after Return of the Jedi. Lots of turmoil and changes go throughout the several year history of the Shadow Council before we get to, you know, what ultimately becomes First Order. And there's a coup at one point, but again, all part of Palpatine's plan. He ordered Admiral Rax to destroy the weaker parts of the remaining Empire, classic Palpatine shit, and then retreat with everyone else to the Unknown Regions. He had all this, you know, prepping over years and years and years with shipyards, labs, storehouses, all this kind of stuff. So labs, talking about cloning. Rax died 5 ABY in the Battle of Jakku. So Return of the Jedi was like 4. 5 was right after. There's some stuff in print about how
I think
that
that's
down.
Technically the actual last battle, like Empire.
Right, right.
That's his AT-AT that Rey sits in.
Oh, sick. Okay.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I'm making shit up.
Well, dude.
Why not?
I'll take that. Yeah.
There's just one sitting in the sands of Jakku.
Yeah.
We need a full backstory on that, or else I'm going to lose my mind.
Apparently, I don't know what series that's in. But the Battle of Jakku it's written about. It's in print. Go read it or listen to the audio. I need to catch up myself. But the council was reformed.
Hey, I read it all and forgot all of it. So.
Oh, you read the whole thing?
I read all of Aftermath and couldn't tell you a damn thing about it.
Were you high?
I'm stupid.
It's so nice, Nick. That's so nice.
So the council was reformed, went into hiding in the unknown regions under the command of Grand Admiral Ray Sloan. So prior to this point, she was, you know, a lower rank, but Rax died. So Ray Sloan, she takes control of the Imperial Remnant. She's also got Moff Gideon, Brendel Hux, who's the father of Armitage Hux, you know, General Hux from the sequel trilogy. Captain Paleon, who was in Mando season 3. He was the one kind of speaking for Thrawn when they're like, where the hell is this guy? He's supposed to be coming back. What the hell's going on? He's the guy kind of representing him there. And then a bunch of others who were mentioned in those books, not seen on screen, unless their names just weren't called out. Either way, this Imperial Remnant, led by Sloan, they supposedly like tamed the unknown regions. I don't know exactly what this means. Do you remember any of this, Nick?
Nope.
Do they?
Okay. I'm stupid.
Go back in time and never read Nick's cliff notes. Can I cheat out? Hey, can I copy off of you? Nick's like, dude, I.
Sure, man. Can copy whatever you want.
Reading comprehension, zero. So reading retention. Comprehension, fine. Retention, zero.
Right.
You know, sometimes you only get one. You can either understand it and forget it.
Can it both.
Or not understand it and remember.
I literally read them after The Force Awakens because I was like, there's got to be answers in here. There's going to Snoke, raise parents.
A lot of good that did. So again, they tamed, quote, the unknown regions. Don't know what that means. Between 5 ABY and 15 ABY. And this isn't something that's like explicitly stated. It's something that was inferred. You know, if you go to like the Wikipedia article, it's something that's inferred by the dates in the Rise of Skywalker visual dictionary. You know, it says, 29 to 19 years before the Hosnian cataclysm, you know, Starkiller Base blew up that whole system. Right. That was in 34 ABY. So they do the math. 5 to 15 ABY is when all this went down. There's not as much written about that period, apparently. So with Mando season 3 and Ahsoka taking place sometime around 11, that puts that right smack in the middle of that period, 7 years after the Battle of Endor, destruction of the Death Star, and so on. So that's prime time for everything that's happening with Thrawn right now to kind of glue it together. And I'm sure we're going to get another message from someone telling us, like, dudes, if you would just read this, everything would be fine, which we got. And shout out to Midrim Rebel.
Yeah.
Like, so sorry. This episode is almost a response to you saying we need to get our shit together and learn.
I mean, Midrim Rebel? Not wrong at all. But for the most part, I think when, you know, Disney kind of decanonized a lot of things, I know Aftermath was a canon novel, but I do think that, like, the door is open a little bit that what happens, Finn. Oh,
Finn
my goodness.
Agrees. Finn,
of course.
Yeah.
The door's open to Bart.
Finn is mad. Finn.
Finn
was
like,
buddy.
Disney doesn't care if it's in a novel. They don't care.
I just think that live action, not that I think, I know live action is the top canon. So if some things happen in there that change some things in the book, I think if it's like a 98% success rate of the book staying canon, that's fine. But I don't think that they're going to abandon Thrawn kind of created in the First Order somehow, just because there's three novels
book. I mean, don't know. I'm just saying, I think, isn't this kind of the issue that people had with Tales of the Jedi and Ahsoka, was that it was basically a different version of what she had already done.
Or Caleb Dune. Yeah, Caleb Dune in Doom and Bad Batch. It's like, it doesn't matter, you know, is the thing.
Right. So I think at some point, like, you've got to look at it and go, you know, what is the impact, right? I mean, I think in Aftermath, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is where Cobb Vanth came from. This is where Freetown came from. This is all from Aftermath, right?
Yeah, and Snap Wexley, he's a teenager in this. Like, there are so many things that are completely intertwined and woven through all this.
So
yeah, Cobb Vanth was like they were like interlude stories, and he was in one of them in one of the Aftermath novels.
Okay. I should probably read this over the next 5 to 10 years. And I will. I will. Eventually. We fly so much from Mosh Eisley now. I love reading about 4 pages on a plane and getting too tired or watching something instead. So,
dude, the best thing to do is get the audiobook and just listen while you're cleaning up your house or
puts me to sleep too.
Even while you're sanding helmets and shit, it's great.
Maybe.
Then occasionally you sit on the toilet and you bring up the Kindle book and you read along and you go back to what you're doing.
You've got it figured out. I need, send me what's going on.
My actual move is to buy the audiobook and the real book and read along while Mark Thompson reads everything.
It's amazing.
That's how I read
my
last book.
I wouldn't recommend that, Nick, because your attention isn't working.
I'm just trying to have fun, man.
I'm out here trying to.
I just want to hear the stories. I want to hear the stories, and Shadows of the Sith was one of my favorite books. I remember some stuff from that, but
some.
It's not a sponge. This is not, especially if we're going to keep drinking a lot at conventions and stuff.
Right. It's only getting worse.
My brain no worky. Yeah,
it's more like an old leaky water bottle that you picked up on the side of the road and you're trying to store shit in. Than a sponge.
Just body the man. God. Oh, that's good.
Hey, Physics Buddy Joe in the patron chat says, I nailed it. I don't know exactly what you're saying I nailed, but thank you. Maybe my assessment of this. Appreciate it. And he also said, the most important thing from Aftermath, put a picture, Mr. Bones, the battle droid that was...
He's like a murderous battle droid. Yeah,
all customized, red and black, mm-hmm. and it's got a skeleton kind of painted on him. He's got like a knife hand, like Terminator style, sick. Add this to the list of things that I want to build that I'll never build.
What? Mr. Bones?
Yeah, he looks amazing. Look at the chat, dude. It's intense. So dope. Oh, physics buddy Joe. The audiobook while doing chores. Yeah, this is the way. It's incredible.
Chores.
You just want to keep mowing the lawn. The story's so good, you can't stop.
We're down to the dirt. You got to stop mowing the lawn, man. Left.
I'm mowing bushes now. I've mowed my driveway 3 times. Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts. They do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
All right, let's go back to the top and talk about the Mortis gods real quick.
Oh, here we go. Buckle up.
Mm-hmm. Got actually a great comment in the YouTube comments from somebody, username DKARAS.
Filoni's burner account.
Yeah.
He just told his entire plan.
So, Balin Skull. This I just love this so much. I sent this to the rest of the guys earlier. Balin Skull. What I seek is the beginning, so I may finally bring this cycle to an end. Shin Hati says. Hati says, and that beginning is here. Balin says, if the old stories are true. So apparently, in the Mortis arc. In Overlords, that episode, upon arriving on Mortis and encountering the daughter, Obi-Wan says, what exactly are you? And the daughter says, we are the ones who guard the power. We are the middle, beginning, and end. He says, we would typically expect that the description to be beginning, middle, and end, right? But she says, we are the middle, beginning, and end. And because of that sequence, and she's the one who's talking, that coupled with what happens here, the daughter leading them on a cliff, Obi-Wan and Ahsoka are separated, and it's Anakin who ends up being summoned. The daughter takes Anakin to the father's citadel, where they have this conversation. Anakin meets the son in his dreams. He has that vision, right? He meets the daughter, the father, and then the son in that order. So over the course of the arc, the father dies, the daughter dies, and then the son, right? In Rebels, World Between Worlds, the depiction of the ones, the Mordos gods on the Lothal temple from left to right, the daughter, the father, and the son. The voices we hear in the world between worlds, it's the daughter's line, we are the middle, beginning, and end. So again, they're depicted left to right, daughter, father, son, right? So he's saying, daughter's the middle, father's the beginning, son is the end. Is this making sense?
I'm following.
I like it.
He also makes this really cool point about the original trilogy, and maybe this is going too deep, but this is pretty cool, and it kind of checks out to me. He said, I never had an issue with the redemption of Anakin and his appearance as a Force ghost. Only Luke could see him. So that means that he was only ever redeemed in Luke's eyes, and it had much more to do with the implications of the embodiment of the great evil of the galaxy who killed his mentor, being his father, and that meant that evil was a part of him too. Redeeming Anakin is a refutation that Luke is not condemned to repeat the sins of the father in the past, and it's not his destiny. But then the prequels brought all these new implications of lore, muddied the waters kind of complicated it. And a common question then becomes, if all the other Force ghosts needed training to manifest, right? This has been like kind of a point of contention. How can Anakin do that without that training? He just shows up, right? I mean, the easiest explanation is the other movies weren't written yet.
Somehow.
But he said it seems entirely possible that Baylan, upon arriving at the father's citadel, finds the current resident to be Anakin. So we're thinking about like season two or the future here. Imagine him walking in and Anakin is there sitting in the father's place. Ahsoka is obviously the daughter, right? Like we've talked about, she has to be.
Right.
So then Baylan seems destined to be the son, destined to catch his proverbial S-U-N son, you know, like the Norse mythology.
Mm-hmm. We figured that out last week.
Yep.
Shout out to last week's episode.
And then take actions that threaten to bring about the Ragnarok that you also mentioned as the embodiment of the end. So going back to his statement, what I seek is the beginning so I may finally bring this cycle to an end. That was all over the place, but did it make sense at all?
I mean, totally. I think the hard part about it, when we get to this point and we have talked about some things on this show before that end up like, they almost become cooler than what, it's almost like we speculate in concept art.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean that because like when we come back to it and we look at all the concept art, and I've got like books and books full of this stuff, like you go, how did they not do that? How did they not make right? And you can totally see how like at some points it just doesn't work, right? And I'm like trying to figure out so much how Thrawn, like how they're not building to essentially like one of the most epic showdowns in Star Wars in regards to like how we think about the Force simultaneously happening with Thrawn and all of this. It just seems like it should, like, are both these things happening at the same time? Are we able to comprehend this? Is this the future? Like, what is Din Djarin going to be able, like, where does Grogu fit into all this? Like, man, it's so interesting. And I just hope that we get some of it. Cause like this all makes sense to me. I'm like, I'm wigging on this. But then we also sound like we were speculating at one point that the Tuskens were one of the Bad Batch. I'm like, in Book of Boba Fett, that was like dying on that hill. And then it just didn't happen. I was like, oh,
well, okay. It's fun. Not gonna poo-poo on anyone's party here. It's fun to speculate. We do it. We love it. We're never gonna stop. But these are not puzzles to be figured out. So have fun with it. I feel like that's a big lesson for everybody.
But sometimes maybe they are.
I don't know. But here's my issue with this. How do you have Ahsoka, Anakin, and anyone, whether it's Baylan, bring balance to the Force? Then there's no story anymore. You know, like it's been since the Clone Wars that they went to Mortis and it was unbalanced, and hence Anakin becomes Darth Vader and all this stuff, like to fill that void kind of. So if you do just have Ahsoka, Anakin, and Baylan or whoever, be father, son, and daughter. Isn't that just balance and then we're good?
Unless Balin tries to tear apart the whole thing. You know, he may assume that position with the ultimate goal of tearing it down, like he said himself, and like, you know, in the way that's suggested in this comment. And it's because it's not really that much time, ultimately. It's 30-something years, you know, between, you know, and at this point, closer to 20-something, right? So all we really need out of them being in this other galaxy is for them to stay there until the sequel trilogy is
totally
over.
But that makes me think that makes me think that's not going to happen because they're there now.
Right.
But there's plenty of stuff to tell in the meantime, you know?
There is, but Sabine and Ahsoka, for what's the math on that? Like,
but is it like one of those time, like weird
time dilation? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Time dilation. Okay. Like, that could work.
Sign me up.
But there is a part of me that goes like, we've got like the Mortis gods and what they possess in terms of their power, right? We have the life force, we have all these things that are doing what they do. And it's like ultimately part of some of the, it is the most powerful thing to our knowledge of this point of the galaxy. It does start to feel, and I get worried about when the stakes continue to get high, right? I'm talking about Ragnarok here. We're talking about like the end of days in which the planet basically vacuums itself, right? If this was to happen, or whatever the ultimate evil is unleashed among the galaxy, there like gets to a point where, you know, like I kind of felt this in like the Avengers thing was like, there was something really awesome about seeing Hawkeye who shoots arrows, just like taking down whatever the creatures were in New York, because he was doing his part, right? And it was awesome. And then like the latest big bad is a dude who can move through time. And I'm like, yeah, Hawkeye, shoot your arrows at that guy. Like, let's see what you can do. And so like at some point, it's almost like we love the idea that the two biggest things in the galaxy, that a man in a half mech suit who has a change of heart can destroy the most evil part of the galaxy, what made it still feel small enough, right? That that Palpatine was everything bad, I'm all the Sith, right? And he could still be defeated by someone like that. And I get worried where people's comprehension of this stuff can go because the stakes are so high. If you have someone who is upsetting the balance of the Force, the entire galaxy is at risk about that, right? And it kind of makes you feel like one Rancor on Tatooine suddenly isn't that big of a deal then, right? Mm-hmm. And so like, I trust in Filoni to be able to figure this out, but I wonder like the viewer's comprehension of, you know, would they get burned out on this? Would they get burned out on something as epic as the Mortis gods and the resetting of the Mortis arc and the resetting of the Force gods? And then on the other side, like Thrawn's going to show up and be like, I'd like to take over this planet now. And you're like,
yeah,
just give it to him. We got other shit to worry about. You know, like it's just interesting to see where we're at because we're speculating so hard on this. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it does just come down to telling small personal stories in the context of big galactic stakes. You know, so you have the small personal relationship stakes of a father and a son, or, you know, a daughter finding a new family, or, you know, a young person finding, you know, becoming the pseudo daughter of a dude like Han Solo, you know, in the middle of a galactic war. So as long as that's done well, I think it's fine, because so much of the stuff, like you're saying, is us just like painting mental concept art around the stuff that's really the core story for the masses.
Right.
So I, you know, even like Filoni's explanation of what the Phantom Menace truly means.
Oh, so is good. Deep,
incredible poetic shit. Mm-hmm. But ultimately it's for little kids that want to go fast in a pod racer.
Yeah.
And see some lightsabers. You know?
And you see, even his concept of that is, no one ever said that before. We heard that and we're like, oh. Yeah. So just think about a writer's room where you're like writing things down. It's not like there's a bunch of us around the writer's room and be like, we got to connect, we got to solve this puzzle and connect these dots. then Filoni's just like, well, what if we think about it this way and tell a story this way? And that's ultimately more exciting.
Yeah.
I've said it before. It's very awesome that he's done what he did so far, because it gives like relevancy to everyone for the last few years being like, give Filoni a movie, give Filoni this, let Filoni, Filoni's got to be the new Kathleen Kennedy. Like, no one knows what they're talking about. I get it. But like, he did hit a grand slam, you know, like that's, yeah, that's really, really good. Because I got a little worried with Mando season three, because I'm like, oh, I had all my trust in him, and this, some, a lot of this stuff seems not as great storytelling wise as the first two seasons. But now maybe we know that his, you know, his thoughts were with Ahsoka.
Yeah, yeah, I think that was obvious. I think at some point when we look at it, that, you know, that we have to go back, and this is why Star Wars is in such, when we talk about the future of Star Wars, it's like, do we feel, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, do we feel that people are able to get a future in their Star Wars, right? Like, it, like we know, mm-hmm, that season two of Andor is coming. Are people going to feel fulfilled by the time that that's over? Because I'm assuming that it does, and I believe it leads right to Rogue One. So like, if you were an adult Star Wars viewer, are you going to be satisfied with going, that was the start and the end is Rogue One, right? I assume you would be. Skeleton Crew plays in there in kind of an interesting case. Like, I think we're trying to figure out exactly where that fits in. We know that there's, you know, the Gorian Shard and like some of these, the pirates are in there. That's pretty cool. But then other than that, I mean, you know, I think for us to look at this and go, it seems like Ahsoka is the story. It seems like that is, mm-hmm, that is the most important one, which is would explain why Filoni was the only one to get a movie. And what could be interesting is if Acolyte gives us more lore built up into understanding where we might be all the way after the High Republic, because Acolyte is set at the end of the High Republic. So 200 mm-hmm years before, you know what I mean? And so, and that's like this dark horse, because we've heard nothing about it.
Yeah.
Yet Star Wars is going heavy in High Republic stuff right now. I actually think they have Stellan Geos's lightsaber is coming to Galaxy's Edge,
yeah,
right, Nick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they're banking pretty hard on these, like, on these stories. They want people to see it. The big bad villain from Fallen Order 2 is a High Republic era Fallen Jedi. So, I mean, like, if you're not paying attention to the High Republic, feel like you might start missing out on stuff.
And talking about seeds being planted, something like that giant mech in season 2, episode 5 of The Bad Batch, that's something we haven't mentioned yet. There's some ancient implication there. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, like, some of our analysis in that breakdown that we kind of, I re-listened to it today, turned out to be actually correct in terms of, like, the key, you know, that crystal and how it, mm-hmm, it was actually meant to be, you know, if it was removed, it kind of, it sets off this thing, you put it back in, it melts, it's a fail safe, you know? And it's ultimately about these like two cultures at war, and they lock this thing down that looks so much like a Zepho.
Right.
Because again, there's all this other ancient mythology. So like this, it felt like this side quest, but it had these deeper implications that we don't know about yet. There's this larger lore. And like you're saying, they're putting so much into the High Republic. And with something like the Mortis Gods spanning who knows how many millennia, I think you're right. I think Ahsoka is like the biggest thing. She will be, you know, the equivalent, or at the center of the equivalent of like the Palpatine Skywalker, mm-hmm, saga. You know, that back and forth, and everything else can be ancillary to it. Live within,
yeah,
it.
I see her potentially too. Again, only know, I can only speculate based off what we know. But if you want to have a Yoda for a new trilogy or just the future, thankfully, I don't think we know solid canon evidence how Togruta's age. Mm-hmm. But I think I remember reading somewhere, like really digging, and I don't even know if it was on Wikipedia or not. You know, highly force sensitive Togrutas could be like 250, 300 years old. So like, yeah, you know, I think we got some time. Plus, I think there's a reason Rosario Dawson was cast, movie star. Like, they're going to use her. I don't think longevity. That she dies at the end. Yeah, like, I don't think she dies in Filoni's movie or anything, just as she's at like the peak of Ahsoka-ness, you know?
I mean, with my high level of income and advances in technology, I figure I can live to 250.
You know, Vince McMahon said he's going to live to 120 years old, and I kind of believe him.
I mean, with that walk.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I think when you have, again, I know I mentioned this before, but the actual age of the actors that they're working with now between Daisy Ridley and Iman Esfandi and Natasha, like, Daisy's probably the oldest, and she's probably, like, 30, you know? Like, I think we have, like, a real long future here, and someone like Ahsoka could be the Yoda of them all, so.
Right. Or we'll Grogu.
Yeah. Yeah. Or actually.
Or Grogu could be the end game in that sense. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Rosario could play Ahsoka until she's 90.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, sign me up. I'm on board. I think we're on board for all of it. I think we're all on board for every bit of this.
Can we revisit something right now? I want to get your,
sure.
I feel like we're one word short in this sentence that is like a joke. And in our, you know, not that it was meant to be a joke, but we all make a joke about it. Dark science, cloning, secrets only the Sith knew.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cloning is being taken care of by the Bad Batch and Mando. Clearly that word in that phrase is getting taken care of. Secrets only the Sith knew. What could that be right now? Do you think that we have anything going on in current storytelling that would be secrets only the Sith knew?
I mean, that
dark science is so close, because if that phrase is just dark magic, then we have Night Sisters. Dark science is like so close to fitting in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that I don't think each of those is like mutually exclusive. I think there's overlap. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, because he's talking about all the things that Palpatine did. Mm-hmm. And the dark science and the secrets only the Sith knew could be a mix of this, you know, Darth Plagueis the Wise kind of thing with the magic of the Night Sisters and the science of cloning. It's just, it's just like a conversational way of rattling off the features of like the overall ball of wax, dark ball of wax in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
I mean, we still haven't gotten, like, we still don't know if resurrection has worked in a way that would get us to Palpatine, who still has power, right? So, like, I think that there's something interesting, like, being resurrected and then being resurrected to have power in that way, or having the Force. I don't know, and I'm wondering if that's going to be one of those, if that's going to be one of those lines that, you know, they may have thought Star Wars was going to end after that, and they just said, you know, just write it. That's fine. No one's gonna one's gonna watch Star Wars after this.
What a brutal 5 minutes in Star Wars.
That's it.
Like Dark Poe's like, somehow Palpatine returned and he says this.
Yeah.
Oh no.
So I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say. I think that we will get more. I'm really excited for them to figure out, for us to start seeing some of these, all these different storylines start to get like woven together in an official sense of like that. There's the reveal, right? That's it. If it's Moff Gideon Prime or whatever we're thinking, you know, I know that we've kind of speculated on that, you know, Moff Gideon's, the version we saw get burned to a crisp was actually his, you know, the clone.
I don't know
what
the purpose of that would be, but I feel like it's a fun idea, you know, like
it's a fun idea.
You got a bad guy now.
Right, right. Exactly. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. Or is it one of those things where it's just a line and we take it out of context, because sometimes you just got to change a line in a movie. And
dude, ultimately it's all easy enough to retcon, not in a negative sense. I don't think retconning is a negative at all. I think it's just like, I think it's high level story sorcery, you know, to be able to just retroactively weave things together. And it's what George did from day one. He made all this new stuff that made the original trilogy mean different things and make more sense, yet then also leave a bunch more holes to later be filled by the Clone Wars and everything. It never ends. It's continuous.
Or is he just wrong? I mean, truly, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you think if you're from the High Republic, which clearly we can see is flawed in many ways, the American school system, like they're not Indians. They were never on India. Like they're Native Americans, right? And so like, but there's people who still call them that.
Yeah.
And there's just this weird sense of him being like, oh, you know, secrets only the Sith knew, because the New Republic is like, that sounds illegal. We're definitely not doing that. Those are secrets only the Sith knew, and no one should ever do those. And definitely don't look in the back of our closet. There's something about it that he could just be wrong, right? Because he's been told that, the bad guys do all the weird stuff and the good guys are totally squeaky clean. And we definitely do not have an amnesty program that's probably going to come back and bite us severely in the butt. So, I don't know.
Yeah. And also we're talking about, a heroin addicted, former musician burnout here who stole someone's baby on the beach. So why are we going to trust what this guy says anyway?
Honestly, we have to go back. We have to go back.
I like it.
Back.
Not Penny's Boat.
Not Penny's Boat. Drivel.
All right.
Wasn't that that was the name of the band? Is Drivel, wasn't it?
Driveshaft.
Oh, Driveshaft.
You all, everybody. Good, man. Yeah. All right. Let's be done now. That's enough speculating for one night. If you're watching, subscribe. If you're listening, subscribe. Subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe on your podcatcher of choice.
Oh, you got to like the stream, right? We got to tell people that. You got to like the stream. You got to subscribe. You got to hit
like and subscribe. Press the buttons.
What did you say? Smash the... Okay. No more smashing. Yeah. We're done smashing. We're too old for that.
Yeah. Gently push the button. Click it with your mouse. Also, it's been a while since we asked people to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, but please do that. Also, if you subscribe on your podcatcher of choice, that does, in the case of like Spotify, where this is published, help with metrics and help us get an idea of who's actually listening, because, you've got downloads versus subscribers and there's all these different kind of things. It's tougher with podcasts. So the more you review, rate, subscribe, and so on, the better idea we have of who's listening, and the more it helps future sponsors and things like that help us do things, and that helps us pay the bills, and we appreciate all of it. So thank you in advance. Thanks to patrons also. Thanks for hanging out with us and backing us up on things we don't know anything about, sending cool pictures, boosting our confidence, making us feel cool. We love you. Keep your eye on Mosh Eisley at Mosh Eisley on socials. We'll be making announcements sometime soon. You know, the thing's in February, so we'll get the details. We'll try to get all the details out and everything on sale and everything before the holidays start to get weird. It's already happening, but sooner than later. Thanks to everyone who came out to Mosh. Dudes, thanks for hanging tonight. Everyone, thanks for watching and listening. And until next week, may the Force be with you. If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod, where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.